The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. Hope you had a great Mother's Day weekend. Weather was a little bad, but it cleared up yesterday. It was really a nice day for all the moms. And I know it's a little late. I said it on Friday, but I'll say it again today. Thank you, moms, for everything that you do for all of us. And happy Mother's Day. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We will visit with Guy Williams, Chairman and CEO, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about why Spirit failed, the electric challenge for U.S. automakers, caller ID fraud, and the GDP, gross domestic product, and employment numbers look good. And we'll dig deep into those numbers. Brian Fitzpatrick joins us. He's the National Research Manager at the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, and the author of this report. About more than 40 states have passed the science of reading laws, but their success depends largely on how well teachers understand and apply them. You're going to want to listen to this interview because this very much is the linchpin as it relates to the success of our kids in school today, one way or the other. It all starts here because these are programs that are starting in K through 3 that really set kids apart. Those that are taught this method of reading appropriately, understanding why, how the brain works, how the eyes work, attention, and everything else. It'll be a very interesting interview. Mark Hamrick joins us at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at BankReit.com. We'll talk about the National Association of Realtors. They released their March existing home sale report, and we'll find out what that reveals. Lowry Cruz, you've heard his name. I've interviewed him many times. I love what his organization does in this city, the 18th Ward. I ran into him the other day, and he was talking to me about how swimming is not going to be available for our kids this summer. And I'm really disappointed to hear that, and I don't know exactly all the reasons why. We'll try and figure that out. As a kid that grew up swimming, not only competitively, but just for fun, and for a long, long time, as a young adult, at the Cotton Club on Jefferson Highway, where I learned how to swim, and moved on to Lynn Park and other community clubs, and it was just a great opportunity to spend summer days. Great activity. Wonderful activity. And we talked so much about how great it was that this was coming back here in the city of New Orleans. And we had these pools. And, hell, we even saw LaToya Cantrell in a bathing suit. And, you know, I mean, the reality was is we were very excited about it. But it seems as though I'm here and ain't there no more. I don't know. We'll talk about that with Lowry Cruz in the 18th Ward. So last week we heard about an explosion in St. Bernard Parish at the Chalmette Refinery. And here to talk to us about that happenstance and the response, the same as the St. Bernard Parish president, Louis Pomez. Louis, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Lou.
Thank you, sir, for joining us. You know, that kind of always rocks everybody's world when you hear an explosion. You start wondering what's going on. It seems as though the response was incredible. And fortunately, you know, we haven't heard of anything disastrous. Tell us about what we know today as opposed to late last week.
Well, I don't know a whole lot more than what I found out late last Friday. They're still doing the investigation right now. Made several calls this morning to find out how far they was with the investigation. Didn't get any feedback exactly yet on the information we're looking for. But I can say that they are definitely working on investigation right now.
So we don't know the source of the issue. But what we do know is the ability of a lot of the agencies under you and others and their response to this. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, the refinery itself on the emergency response team, the refinery has about 140 employees that work under the emergency response team with the fire protection and all in the plants. And then Saint Bernard Parish government alone, you know, we have about 117 firefighters in Saint Bernard that, you know, they work with these guys on a regular basis on training with our local sheriff department working together with them. So when it comes down to emergency response in Saint Bernard Parish, they really build a good team together for that. A lot of training goes into that.
Yeah, and the Chalmette Refinery has been there for years, obviously, and these longstanding relationships that y'all have matter, right?
Oh, absolutely. And they've been really, really great. I mean, we meet monthly. We go through meetings monthly. It's really good teamwork together with the refineries, with all of our refineries in Saint Bernard Parish.
There were not any initial warnings issued to the population at large on Friday, and it doesn't, I guess it's safe to say that you don't have access to any information to say that anything should have been treated differently as it relates to the release into the air.
Yeah. Now, my biggest concern is when it first happened was to make sure that the refineries, which I already know they was going to have this, but we wanted the air quality monitors throughout the parish, you know, after this, when this event took place. And I'm going to tell you, when it took place, it was so fast with the response that we got from everyone. It was unreal. And hey, President Pomaz, we just let you know, all the air monitors are out. We have them being monitored. There's so many things that they was going through. And once again, I don't have all the information about the sirens. You know, that people are questioning, why didn't the sirens go off? I have no idea why the sirens didn't go off. So people are asking, what about y'all sirens? Why didn't the parish government sirens go up? Our sirens are for hurricanes and tornadoes. They're not for the refineries.
Right. And I guess that's going to be part of the investigation. I was going to ask you about the sirens. I would assume that they're going to be looking into that as well as to why they were not triggered.
Yeah, that's correct. And we're going to get some information back on that as well.
Yeah. Lewis, I know if you don't mind me pivoting real quick, hurricane season looms right out in front of us. And I know that St. Bernard is always going through their preparation list. I guess you have already started that process as we approach already almost the end of the second week of May. And here we go in probably 2 to 3 weeks. We're in hurricane season.
Yeah, that's correct. But we don't wait till hurricane season comes around. You know, I've been in field operation for over four decades. And I'm going to tell you, we stay on it all year long. We got 140 miles of drainage canals in Saint Bernard Parish. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we inherited and took over 8 of the mainage drainage pump stations from the Southeast Flood Authority. And today, I mean, we are 100% in pump capacity throughout our parish. In the last two plus years, I put over $30 million in drainage. So it's a big plus to St. Bernard Parish right now. I think we're sitting really good for heavy rains, and we do have a lot of good hurricane protection systems around us. So I think we're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously there's a y'all have had a lot of construction relative to the marsh improvement and things of that nature with the CPRA, some of which was just announced here recently, I guess about 6-8 months ago, that there are some projects that were completed, right?
Yes, we did. We actually did a ribbon cutting Friday. I was at a ribbon cutting for a lot of the marsh projects that we're doing with CPRA and that. And Friday, that's where I was coming from when the explosion happened. We talked about $300 million of projects that's going to be funded right here in Saint Bernard Parish. And then there's another $335 million project that's coming for the Barry Islands.
And the Barry Islands, I know that's been a source of concern for most everybody for a long time, right?
That's correct, yeah, for many years.
Because we understand the delicate balance that they play, especially as it relates to knocking down some of the tidal surge as it approaches our coastline.
That is correct, 100% correct. It's kind of like a speed bump in the subdivision. It'll slow them down.
Lewis, final thoughts?
No, not really. I think so far everything's fine. I want to thank you all so much for inviting us in on the show today. And as I get more information on the explosion, I'd be more than glad to share it with you all.
Thank you, sir. Lewis Pomez, Parish President, St. Bernard Parish. Have a great week. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back after the break, we'll visit with Lowry Cruz, founder and CEO of the 18th Ward. Stay with us.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This, folks. Folks, just a reminder, you know, we're going to have a lot of good stuff on the show today. And, you know, with Guy Williams and Brian Fitzpatrick from the Fordham Institute and Mark Hamrick and Lowry Cruz, who will join us in a moment. We just talked to the parish president, St. Bernard, Lewis Pomez. And if you missed it, you can go to WWL.com. I always had a W there. WWL.com and click on audio, then my name. That'll take you to all of our daily podcasts. You can listen to that interview or the entire show. Listen whenever you want, wherever you are. Or you can download the Odyssey app and listen to any of the WWL shows that you love as well. So just want to give you a reminder about that. We are going to be talking a little bit more about this bill relative to the clerk's office. I have kind of been waiting for this to reveal itself as to what the issues are. Who's on what side, why, where this is actually going, the interpretation of the language in that bill. Sometimes that in and of itself is a problem. And during the course of the remainder of this week, we will talk about that to see how this ultimately plays out. And there's so many pressing issues. A lot happened over the weekend in the Strait of Hormuz. We still have the oil issue that's floating around. A lot going on in Ukraine as well. The Russian economy in a mess. There's an attempt for a ceasefire in the Russian-Ukrainian war. It'll be interesting to see how that ultimately all plays itself out. And we have President Trump going to visit Xi Jinping, the head of China, and that has a lot to do with what's on again, off again, around the world. All right, we have Lowry Cruz, founder and CEO of the 18th Ward. Lowry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell, thanks for having me.
So, Lowry, if you would, before we dig deep into this topic, and I just want to let everybody know, I ran into Lowry at a function last week. We started talking. I was a swimmer. I asked about the swimming program. We'll get to that in a moment. But, Lowry, I want you, if you would, to, for a few moments, tell the listening audience what it is that 18th Ward does.
The 18th Ward is a nonprofit in New Orleans designed to build community by bringing families together from all 17 wards across the city. We use sports to do that. Some of our larger programs include swimming, gymnastics, soccer, flag football, basketball. And we have an incredible workforce development program where teenagers and young adults are leading the programs that our youth are participating in, whether that's during the school day, after school, evenings and weekends. We had over 14,000 kids on our roster this year and hired hundreds of teenagers who get paid to lead these programs. So it's great leadership development. It's great workforce readiness programming. And we're trying to meet the demands that exist in our community. Our families are asking us to do more, and we're trying. But we need more access to spaces, particularly swimming pools, especially during the summertime. I know that's a big topic.
Yeah, I was struck because I asked you about, you know, whether or not we had any information as to whether the pools were going to be open this year. The city operated and funded pools, and you said you thought that that was not going to happen. Is that in fact the case?
Well, I probably read the same NOAA.com article every summer that you and your listeners do, where there's a lifeguard shortage and pools or maybe under construction or repair and not able to open. It's my hope that all the pools are open and they're fully staffed. We've been operating the last couple years using private pools. The YMCA in Central City has been a great partner, University of New Orleans, Loyola, the JCC, Newman. A lot of private operators have allowed us to use their pools to teach swimming. But so far, we haven't had any luck gaining city pool access. And we've offered to rent pool space from Nord, but we've been told to stay in our lane.
Well, that is your lane, is it not? I mean, you know, I was a competitive swimmer, and all of those facilities that you mentioned, most of them, either their predecessor or they were around when I was swimming, and they all outsourced and provided for other groups that had played a significant role in swimming lessons over a period of time. That's what they did. I mean, I don't understand. So this is something that they have no desire to do. I mean, programmatically, they haven't been able to click on one cylinder, much less multiple cylinders, for a long time. And you guys have been successfully delivering this service, which is incredibly important. As you point out, that drowning is one of the leading causes of accidental death for children in this country. And it would seem to me that this is an easy fix.
It seems that way to me too, Newell, and I'm not sure what the hurdles are, but we've been very clear that our goal would not be to displace any current programming at Nord Pools. Most of our other pool partners, they just allow us to rent and pay for one or two lanes while they may also be teaching swim lessons or have lap swimming or water aerobics. So I think most pools are large enough to have more than one provider in those pools at a time. I mean, we taught over 1,000 young people how to swim this year without owning any pools or having regular access. Luckily, we just had some really great partners who allowed us to rent those spaces. But as our swim program goals grows, those rental fees grow. And so then we run into a situation where we're paying more to rent facilities, and then that's less money to hire instructors and lifeguards to teach. So we end up teaching fewer kids because we have to pay more for that access. And I think it's something that the city should be providing more of. And I think it's something we're very willing to work in partnership with the city in order to do. We had a great partnership this year with the New Orleans Health Department. They received a federal grant from the CDC. And that helps support our swim program, and it's something we'd like to continue, but we need a better partnership with our city to do that.
But this is the other thing that strikes me, and maybe this new administration is just simply not aware of the P's and Q's here. You know, you guys have been incredibly well received in all 17 wards. you guys have run incredible, successful programs, and obviously thousands upon thousands of parents have put their trust in you for not only the kids that are receiving the services, but the kids that are playing in the leadership roles and changing their lives and creating new opportunities for them in order to succeed. And so we don't really have to do much marketing of this program, right? I mean, it's a natural transition for your participants to move from one sport to the other, one activity to the other, to experience. And going back to what I said before is that drowning is one of the leading causes of accidental death for children in the country today. And we're surrounded by water. I mean, I remember as a kid going down to the canals and the east bank of Jefferson Parish and catching guppies and whatever other fish were in there, you know, and fishing in the canals, fishing at the lakefront, getting on my bike, riding miles with my fishing pole to go stand on the rocks in the lake and fish and catch garfish and catch croakers, and every now and again lucky enough to catch a speckled trout, maybe even a redfish every now and again. But it was that thrill. But, you know, my parents always had the comfort of knowing that I could swim. I was a swimmer. And my mom used to tell me, if you drown, I'm going to kill you. It's like, you know, but I mean, it's just, I am having difficulty connecting and, you know, not being able to connect dots here. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, it's important that all of our kids have the skills and confidence to be around water, whether they're growing off to summer camp or whether they're fishing with their family, or whether they just want to jump in a pool and cool off. I was a teacher and a principal before I started the 18th Ward, and when one of my students died with his family in a drowning accident, that's what really kickstarted the swim program. And we did one water safety event at the JCC, and then the next thing you know, we're enrolling students in the thousands. And we'll launch our summer registration on May 14th, and within 10 minutes, all of our swim spots will be filled. And it's because our staff does a great job. We just finished our spring swim program, and 98% of our families said they'd highly recommend our program, and so it's in really high demand. And my worry is that we're not going to be able to meet that demand, even though this is a solvable problem, if the right partnerships exist. I mean, it's our belief that every kid in New Orleans should learn how to swim before they graduate. That could be graduating fourth grade, eighth grade, 12th grade. We can teach all of them to swim, if given the opportunity.
Yeah, you know, and Lowry, I kind of put my money where my mouth is. I support a group called the Blue Boot Rodeo. It's put on in Grand Isle, tragically, a young family lost a very young child that was in the neighborhood and at a pool that didn't belong to them, and ultimately went in the pool but was of age. Could have known, you know, could have had swimming lessons and learned how to swim and drowned. And they started this in his memory. And what they do is they give out free life preservers and swimming lessons. And it's turned out to be the largest rodeo in Grand Isle, raising more money than any other event down there. Because this touches families every day, right? You know, everyone's required to have a gate and stuff in their fence if they have a pool in their yard, but these gates can be opened. and so it's a legitimate worry. And if the more kids that we can put in pools and the more instruction that we can give out there, the less tragedies we're going to hear about, right?
You're right about that, and this is something that's deeply personal to us. And I know there's concern out there from a lot of families that their child may not have the opportunity to learn how to swim. Private swim lessons are very expensive, and our families can pay as little as $5 for an entire season of swim lessons. And we've got more than enough trained staff to prepare our students to be safe and successful in the water, so much so that just in the last couple of years, our beginner swimmers have advanced, and we're providing even more comprehensive set of programs so that, you know, they may can join their swim team one day. So the growth has been tremendous just over the last 2 years, and we're hoping to keep that momentum going.
And I'm confident that some of the younger kids that are in your program will ultimately end up being student swimming leaders and will be instructors in your program in the very near future.
You're right about that. That's one of the unique things about our model, is that those 14,000 kids on our rosters this year are all going to be prepared to coach and lead programs, whether they're going to be a basketball coach or a lifeguard or a gymnastics instructor. They're going to be prepared to give back to their community and have a good first job and continue to be leaders in our city. I mean, we've got an endless supply of talent, and our kids just need opportunities so that we can cultivate that talent and help them on their pathway. And so I really appreciate you bringing some attention to this issue. And I hope that all the pools are open, and I hope that there's plenty of lifeguards. And if the 18th Ward can help at a private or public location, we're ready and willing.
Well, I'm certain that some of the right folks are going to hear this interview today, and I certainly hope that someone will be reaching out to you shortly. And if it's a question of finances, I would certainly hope that someone would bring this to the forefront, because I'm confident that we could raise enough money. I've seen a number of these programs started, and there's no shortage of parents' desire to appropriately fund this, because the cycle of life changes when your child predeceases you as a parent. And there's no worse experience out there. It just breaks my heart every time we hear about it. And I'm sure you as a teacher and a principal had many of those, right? Where that cycle was broken and it's, you don't recover. It's just one of those things, right?
This is a very solvable problem. And, you know, for the last couple of years, we've been faced with the same issue, or just a little more space and a little more funding. And we can be part of the solution. And I know there's other great providers out there. And we all have to work together because our kids deserve this opportunity. And we should be rallying around this idea that when our kids are born, they're going to learn in New Orleans, surrounded by water, they're going to learn to swim, because we're making it affordable. We're making it accessible. And if folks are interested, our registration for summer starts May 14th. You can find it on the 18thward.org, our website. And we're really thankful for the New Orleans Health Department. They've taken a big lead and unlocked a lot of opportunities for young people this year.
Absolutely. I mean, and historically, everybody in city government has been there, you know, at one point in time or another for the development of 18th Ward. And I know that the NOLA Coalition, Michael Heck and his group have premiered you guys and are big believers in you guys as well.
The NOLA Coalition has been a great support group for us. We're going to be providing some more youth opportunities this summer in the River District in partnership with Clover, thanks to the NOLA Coalition. Excited to announce that later this week. But this is personal to us. We wake up every day trying to figure out how we can create more opportunities for our kids, whether that's during the school day or or after school and on the weekends. There's a lot of young people in our city who need more opportunities. They need more swim lessons. They need more summer camp options. And it has to be affordable. And we have to go into neighborhoods that have fewer swim lesson opportunities or fewer summer camps and be there for those families. So we're ready and willing. We've got a really strong team, and I appreciate you amplifying that message for us.
Well, Lowry Cruz, thank you. I'm a big believer in what you guys do, and we thank you for being down in the trenches, being a difference maker each and every day. We are a better city for it. Lowry Cruz, founder and CEO of the 18th Ward. Have a great week.
Thanks, Noel. You too.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. In fact, on the text line, all second graders in St. Bernard Parish Public Schools are taught to swim. That's the highlight of my day right there. We'll be right back.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Well, there's definitely no shortage of material to talk about this week. And I said earlier that we're going to be covering a number of controversial topics as they continue to reveal themselves. The redistricting issue, obviously, is a big issue across this country that has been embarked upon by any number of states here recently. But this is something that has been going on for decades. This isn't anything new. And what's kind of interesting is people don't realize that this has been going on for decades and that they're allowed to redistrict as it relates to ideology, party preference, geographic considerations. All of those are constitutional. What the Supreme Court ruled upon is that you cannot consider race with the overlay of the 15th Amendment, where you can't use race as kind of the deciding factor. This is where the big change is now. There's no doubt that one of the districts here in Louisiana that was created was specifically created because of race. In fact, it so much as said so. So folks always say and ask, well, what does the 15th Amendment say? In fact, last week we had a couple of folks that texted in. So here's the 15th Amendment, Section 1. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. The Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Now, where the rubber meets the road is the detail. This amendment says the right to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition or servitude. It does not say there's a right to an outcome, and it does not say that there's a right to create minority majority districts to achieve an outcome. In fact, and then when you go to the Voting Rights Act, Section 2, which seems to be under consideration, a lot of that is specifically addressed there. And when you read it, you get kind of confused as to how we ended up in this country where we are. In fact, over the last week, I've reached out to a number of lawyers who I know, not Republicans, either independents or Democrats, and said, how did we end up here? What's your reading of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act? And it's amazing we're all on the same page. And we all question, how did we get here? Because it doesn't say that in where we are at the present time. It doesn't allow for that as to where we are at the present time. And what's really interesting is that after all these years, the case was never prime before the Supreme Court for them to address this one specific issue, which is curious as well. And when Tommy Tucker had asked in the crossover about, you know, what's going on with the clerk's office, you know, it's, sometimes it's all about timing, whether or not there's the political will to do this or do that or to take these issues on. The way that the court ruled is, it's hard to disagree that we now have at least one unconstitutional district for sure. Because the evidence that's presented was actually comments and rulings by the court. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. We'll continue to flush this issue out in the remainder of the week. I'm not a constitutional lawyer by any stretch of the imagination. I try hard to stay abreast of these issues, and we will continue to do so. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Mark Hamrick from Bankrate.com.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.